Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
It is wonderful to be here tonight. It's wonderful to have this opportunity to come together and worship the Lord. And we're going to be singing some songs for a little while. Always a wonderful thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to worship God, to give Him our hearts. And of course, after that, we will be studying the Word. But before we do anything tonight, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this night, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, asking that Thy perfect will be done, asking, O God, for a move of Thy Spirit, asking for a pouring out of Thy Holy Ghost upon each and every one of us, Lord. We pray, O God, that Thy Spirit would truly be here, that Thy presence would be felt, that Thou would make a difference in our lives here tonight. Change us, O God, for the better, we pray. Perfect us, we pray, and cleanse us from anything that shouldn't be there. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst move upon us greatly this night. Let there be a great move of Thy Spirit, we pray. Give us the inspiration to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. For we know that Thou seekest such to worship Thee. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start tonight with number 143 in the chorus book. We have come into this house. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him and Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise the And it is so important to worship the Lord. You know, people, they might ask, well, when's the best time to worship the Lord? And I tell you what, the answer is always the same. Right now. Praise the Lord. And if you don't feel like it, then you need to do it all the more. Praise the Lord. Why don't we sing number 76 and sing Reach Out and Touch the Lord. Number 76. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, why don't we sing number 72? You know, that chorus came into my mind as we were singing the last one, and I didn't even realize it's on the same page. So that's convenient. Number 72, For He is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's not enough to just say that you believe in God. You got to know who He is. It's the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And we need Him so much each and every day. In fact, we would be completely helpless without Him. So why don't we go to number 91 right now and sing Without Him.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me. travel life's rugged sea and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. And you know, we would be helpless without Him. We'd be lost without Him. Praise the Lord. And we need Him every minute of every day. You know, as we were singing that song, another song popped into my head. Number 163 in the hymnal, I Need Thee Every Hour. Why don't we sing that right now? Number 163. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we do need Him so very much. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And the wonderful thing is, He has promised that He would never leave us. Praise the Lord. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings, Thy many abundant blessings, for the way that Thou hast kept us and sustained us for all these years. And we pray, O God, that we would never lose sight of Thee and what Thou hast done for us, knowing full well that we would be completely helpless without Thee. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for the cause of Thy kingdom, and for the sake of Thy glorious name. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a couple of prayer requests that we're going to take care of before we sing another song. And this one Jane gave me before the service. A letter came in, and I'll just read it. It says, "Dear Last Trumpet Ministries, I've got a friend going into the operating room at the Cleveland Clinic November 5th. That's tomorrow. That's one of the reasons we want to make sure we pray for this tonight. He's having some plastic mesh removed from his abdomen, a ticklish operation to remove a defective product which may have become entangled in his intestines. Please pray for him to have a miraculously easy and straightforward operation and come out the other side alive and recovering. Ask for him to meet Jesus at this time. His name is Larry Miller." So we're going to pray for Larry right now. And then we also have a request from Diane. She's having some work done on her roof tomorrow. And she just wants prayer that that would go well, that there would be no problems, and that everything would be taken care of. So we're going to pray for these things right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Larry Miller, praying, O God, that Thou wouldst be with him and help him as he goes through this surgery, which sounds like it could be very dangerous. We pray, O God, for his safety and his protection, asking for a good outcome, asking that Thou wouldst be with him right there and guide the doctors, give them the wisdom they need, let them do a miraculous job through Thy power and through Thy grace. And we pray, O God, that Thou wouldst also talk to him, speak to him, and save his soul if need be, we pray. And we ask, O God, for this healing to be done in Thy glorious name for this man, we pray, for this man named Larry. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. And we also pray on behalf of Diane, for tomorrow, for her roof, for all the work that needs to be done there. We pray that all would go smoothly, that there would be no complications, that there would be no problems, that Thou wouldst give guidance to the man who is working on her roof, that there would be no injuries, that there would be no failures, that nothing would go wrong, we pray. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we're going to sing one more song before we get started in the Word. And, you know, on Sunday we had a time of worship after our fellowship dinner, and it was wonderful. Actually, we sang until I couldn't sing anymore. But one of the songs we sang, we had never sang before. I don't think Mom had ever played it before, but I really enjoyed it quite a lot. And, you know, we probably don't have it down perfectly yet, but it's a beautiful song, and I'd like to sing it again, number 290, "Yesterday, Today, Forever." Sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the
heal the sick and lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. He who was the friend of sinners, seek the lost one now. Sinner, come and at His footstool penitently bow. He who said, I'll not condemn thee, go and sin no more, speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Oft on earth He healed the sufferer by His mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at His command. He who gave His healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims His fullness, still will give as much. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. As of old He walked to Emmaus with them to abide, so through all right way He walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold Him. Hasten, Lord, that day, but 'twill still be the same Jesus as He went away. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. All may change, but Jesus never. To His name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It's good to know we have a God who doesn't change. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we will turn things over to Shirley. Glory to God. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you, Diane. Oh, praise the Lord. He is good. He is so good to us. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thankful that we could be here tonight and the Lord is here. And I must say that was good Sunday. I'm so glad we got to spend that time worshiping Him. The request is that we could do it again soon. And with the Lord's help, we're going to do that. The Lord will give us those opportunities and those moments where we can gather together. We are to gather all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, it's approaching. And we don't have a Sunday night service here. And, what a wonderful thing that we could extend our Sunday morning service a bit there and have a little bit to eat and then come up here again and worship the Lord. You know, that is good. We've got to draw nigh to God. We've got to get close to Him. If not now, then when? You know, we're going to stand before Him one of these days. So He's going to come as a thief in the night, and it's going to be sudden. It's going to be unannounced, and it's going to be over. It's going to be over. You know, that's going to happen one of these days. We've talked of it a long time. You know, Christians who these 2,000 years have been and referring to the coming of the Lord, but it's going to happen, and we may be those that will be alive and remaining at that time when He comes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We could be that select group that has that opportunity. So we don't know, but let's go forward because, wow, we don't know the day nor the hour of His coming. We don't know, and He's going to come. That is for sure. Let's pray as we begin here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that we can gather here tonight. Oh, Lord, we thank You for Your faithfulness, Lord. And oh, God, that You put it within us to have this opportunity to want to join here together tonight, Lord. Oh, God, to be here, Lord, for where two or three are gathered in Your name. You are in the midst of Thy people, Lord. You are in our midst, oh, Lord. You are here tonight, Lord. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Lord, the same God that worked for the people of old, Lord. And here we are tonight, God, with our needs and our petitions, our desires. Oh, God, our hope in being in Thee, Lord Jesus. And God, I pray that You'd reach out tonight, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that You would touch those that need You, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that You would work in hearts. God, I pray that You would change the situations that need to be changed, that You would change the lives that need to be changed. Oh, God, oh, Lord, that You'd work in us, God, to take us to that higher ground, oh, Lord, and help us, Lord. Help us to be ready at Thy coming. Oh, Lord, help us to be occupying at that moment. Oh, God, help us to have our lamps trimmed and burning, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, we just come against any hindrance, oh, Lord, anything, oh, God, that would seek to, oh, God, discourage us, oh, God, to misdirect us, oh, Lord, to cause us to draw back, Lord. We come against any stronghold, anything, oh Lord, of opposition, oh, anything, oh Lord, that might try to press its way in here, Lord. We come against it in the name of Jesus, Lord, and pray that You'd be with Your people here tonight, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You talk to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, that You'd use this message, God, that You'd speak through it, Lord Jesus. Oh God, and oh God, that You'd work in hearts, God. Oh Lord, that, oh God, we would be fit to meet Thee at Thy coming, Lord. Lord, that we'd be ready, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us tonight. Minister to us. Meet our needs, Lord. Speak to us. Let there be conviction here, Lord. Let Your Spirit move, Lord Jesus. Oh, we come to You in Jesus' name. And thank You, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is really something. I had a dream a few nights ago. And, it was actually last week. It was probably, it must have been either Thursday or Friday, maybe even possibly Saturday. Oh, no, I think it was one of the others. But anyway, it was really something because I had some kind of opportunity where I was writing some paper, and it looked like it was kind of for some youth group or something, and they gave you the criteria to express in your own words and that sort of thing, and I was sort of trying to follow it for a little while in my dream, and then it's just like the Lord took over. He started giving me words. I don't know exactly if I was following their outline or anything by that point. But anyway, I woke up and I realized I had just been quoting from Romans the 13th chapter, and I thought, oh, okay, Lord, I think you've given me here something, and I just thought that was just really exciting to wake up with the scripture on my mind. I always love to wake up with scripture, and I must say, when Sam was preaching Sunday, I was just waiting. Is he going to go to Romans the 13th chapter? Oh my, and he said he had thought about it, but he didn't quite go there. So anyway, I guess it's my turn to go to Romans the 13th chapter here tonight, and we'll see what the Lord will show us. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to call this High Time to Awake Out of Sleep. High Time to Awake Out of Sleep. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it's right on us right now. The hour is imminent. And it could be any day, any hour, any time. He's going to come suddenly as a thief in the night, unannounced. And suddenly, this life that we know it will be over. It will be over. And you know, the trials, the difficulties, the disappointments, they'll all be as nothing at that point. We'll see our Lord. We'll be with the bride of Christ. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, it's an entirely different world. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's what the Christian has to look forward to. You know, they might wonder what makes us tick. You know, from time to time, you know, we don't do this, we don't do that, we stay away from that, and you know, our whole way of thinking is different. It, at least it better be if we've really been changed, if we've really been converted, if we've really come to the Lord, you know. So they might wonder. They might wonder why we don't run after them and do the things that perhaps we once did. But praise the Lord, there is a God who sent his Son to this world that we might have life and life more abundantly. Praise the Lord. He came to seek and to save those that were lost, to redeem those that were his, and to make a difference in our life and to give us hope that we could be with him forever. Oh my, that we could be his sons and daughters and abide in his presence continuously. Oh, praise the Lord. What wonderful things we have to look forward to. Besides, down here on this earth as we live it, you know, he makes it easier for us. You know, not that the way of Christianity is easy, but he somehow gives us strength that we wouldn't have it ourselves. You know, he breathes into us that hope, and you know, he gives us something beyond what our normal being has, you know, something to live for, something to die for, something to look forward to. It's a wonderful thing to be in the Lord's arms and to know him as our Lord and Savior. And praise the Lord, you know, yes, they're all going to know him on that day. They're going to recognize him finally. And oh my, how precious beyond words to have acknowledged him already. And to be right in his sight, to have that righteousness of his robe of righteousness on our person, on our soul, to be clothed in that, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to have his Spirit moving in our life and on our life. And oh my, those changes that he's made, it's going to mean everything at that moment when we see the Lord. It surely is. But here we have opportunity here tonight. Here we have opportunity to make our amends, to get right with the Lord, to do his will, to follow up with the things that he's put in our hearts. But it may not be for long. You know, it's looking pretty rugged out there. But let's go into the scripture here right now. Romans the 13th chapter. We're going to begin with the 11th verse. Romans 13 verse 11. And it reads, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in tampering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, praise the Lord. This is what the Lord gave me, and this is what was going through my mind when I woke up that morning. These verses here from Romans, the 13th chapter. But here we are, and it tells us very clearly that it's high time to awake out of sleep. We know the time. And it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let's go to Luke, the 21st chapter here for a moment. And let's look at a few verses here in this chapter. Of course, this is one of the prophetic chapters here. It goes along well with Matthew, the 24th chapter, and other places too. But here, let's begin with verse 24 here in Luke 21. Speaking of the very end here. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And here I would like to focus on this verse. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then he began to speak to them a parable in verse 29. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. But likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And I was thinking how it is here. You know, Jesus told that parable. When you see the fig tree and all the trees and they begin to shoot forth their leaves in the springtime, you know that summer is coming. And we all observe that. And now we're on the other end of summer. And you know, we've seen the trees turn their colors and the leaves begin to drop. And, you know, we notice, you know, the squirrels going around trying to gather for the winter and the other creatures that are out there all busy knowing that winter is at hand. And likewise, if we have any intelligence at all, we kind of know, like it or not, that, you know, one of these days, though we've had a wonderful little reprieve here, beautiful days, 60s and 70s the last 3 days. Oh, it's been really gorgeous outside, but we know that this is very short-lived, and very, very soon, it's November now, you know, we're going to have colder weather, and we're going to have warm coats, we're going to have mittens, we're going to have scarves, some boots would be good, and you know, Lord knows, we just kind of have this awareness, and we've probably lived long enough to know once, you know, the trees start dropping their leaves and these girls are scuttering around and gathering their nuts and everything else that, you know, it won't be long. And, you know, you can't always tell. You know, one day can be beautiful, the next day can be something else, as we all know if we live here in the north. But anyway, people observe the signs of the times. We become accustomed to, you know, those observations. And you know, if you get a wood stove and it's going to be winter, you know, you better have some wood laid aside so, you know, you can be have heat during the winter time or whatever all, you know, you have to have fuel set aside one way or the other. And, you know, maybe you have to examine your windows and see if you know they're in good order or there's not a whole bunch of leaks and you might want to cover this and that, and Lord only knows. But you know, we know it could be pretty cold here, and so we take warning, we take heed, and you know, so it is, and the whole creation is like that. You know, God put it within the animals that instinct to know how to prepare, to know how to get ready, and to do the things which are necessary. And likewise, here it is. It's that time when we are seeing a great deal of signs that indicate that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again soon. You know, we've been talking about this for years. I've heard it all my lifetime, to tell you the truth. And I always knew He was coming one day. In fact, I remember when I was in high school, I wondered if I was really going to complete high school because I felt like the Lord was going to come soon, you know. And I've had that awareness. But right now, we are seeing things like we've never seen before in this land and in this world. I know there was a storm in Yemen just a few days ago, I heard. And, you know, they think it was perhaps engineered. It doesn't typically happen in that area, a hurricane on that level. And, you know, that's questionable. But these are the days when man is trying to get his nitty-gritty hands on everything and alter life as we know it. You know, we hear of, you know, genetic altering and, you know, their attempts to clone, and, you know, we know how they've introduced GMOs into food and how they've changed this and they've changed that. And we know how they're trying to make robots, and they have succeeded. I've seen pictures of their robots, and they look very lifelike. And, you know, some of them are pretty clever. You know, I understand that, you know, sometimes when you leave a message with a company or have to call somebody, you might be talking to a robot. And you know, the things that we've kind of become accustomed of, you know, you just, you know, answering machines, you know, and all this and that with artificial voices and this and, you know, all these things that are going on right now. And, you know, I mean, this robot thing, it's something, you know, to consider because, you know, they program these things that look so real. You know, they might be working as a receptionist in an office or something, you know, and they might be trained to answer phones and God knows what else beyond that. You know, if they can train them, you know, they're going to do things that humans wouldn't usually do on their own. But here it is, yes, they might even work in production lines and you know, therefore make it unnecessary for human beings to have to work those lines. But that's the day we're living in. We're living in a time when there's talk of a collapse financially. And you hear that quite often, the possibility of run on banks and all of that. We have an unbelievable national debt that is out of this world as far as, you know, that kind of consideration goes. And we see the attitudes of people, how they're turning away from God. We see hardening of hearts. We've seen that Supreme Court order where, you know, they've mandated that same-sex marriage can be allowed in this land, in this country. We know how they've embraced abortion and all these other evil things. And we see religion changing drastically, the acceptance of Islam and all those kind of things that are coming into this country, and the door has been opened so that, you know, they're just letting them in, you know, and I'm sure they're, you know, it's done by design. But we see that there evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All those men and women in high places who don't care about God, who don't regard God, who don't really care about people either, and have their own philosophy and all are bent towards a new world order and all of that, all their so-called millennium and all the things that they're trying to put together by their own intuition and their willpower, their design. Oh yes, the complete breakdown of society at this moment, the lack of morals in this world, churches that no longer teach truth, bent in their own ways, just a social message of anything at all, entertainment, all that sort of thing. Oh my, all the things that are so wicked on the television screen, on the computers, everywhere that you might think of, filthy books and magazines. Oh wow, the magazine's so filthy that you don't hardly even want to look there when you stand in line there at the checkouts. You know, but this is the world that we're living in, a world that's monitored, a world with surveillance and with threats. Yes, threats of a possible EMP attack which could bring down the power resources and put us into another realm, and into a middle-aged type of mentality again, and without great knowledge on how to survive. No, there's threats on every side. And that's the world we're living in right now. It's a world that's pretty heavy. It's pretty hard. It's rejected Jesus quite soundly for the most part, for mainstream. You know, people that once were Christians have turned the other way and don't want to even think about the Lord. But for us who know the Lord Jesus, we are told that when we see these things begin to come to pass, that we are to look up and lift up our heads, for our redemption draws nigh. And that's the impact that we have right now. We see these things. Oh, and we know it's the time of Noah, like unto Noah. It's the time like unto to Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think it's a lot like the time of the Tower of Babel. You know, God stopped that building of the Tower of Babel. You know, those people at that time period were pretty wicked too. And here it was, earth was one language and one speech. And you know, they had realized what had happened with the flood. And they thought they were going to outsmart God, I guess. And they decided they were going to build a tower, a high tower, one that would reach heaven, they said. And they thought they would make themselves a name, lest they would be scattered again abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, they were told to go and multiply and to go to different parts of the earth after the flood. But they didn't want to do that, obviously. So here they were in defiance to God with their own plans, their own cunning. And I'm sure they were intelligent. I'm sure they had a lot of ability, a lot of skills, and you know, probably knowledge beyond what we have today. There was something that they were trying to do. And it tells us in Genesis 11, chapter verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men had builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So whatever it all was that they were planning to do, whatever abilities and knowledge and cunning and all their devices and all that they were plotting at the moment in defiance to the living God, well, God saw it, and he stopped it, didn't he? Because if that would have continued, he said, nothing will be restrained from them which they haven't imagined to do. So I'm sure there's not a lot of detail given to us, so we don't know, but I have a feeling they were way out there. But God had a way, didn't he? oh, God is the one in charge. He is the one in charge of this world. I don't care what men may think, and people may be plotting, and how often they might get together and unite, and you don't think they're going to do this or do that. God is the one in charge. And you know, it's not going to happen before the time. He is the one with the control buttons. He knows the day and the hour of his coming, and he knows how to preserve his people. So anyway, God confounded their language, didn't he? They went down. God saw to it that they wouldn't understand one another's speech, and they were scattered abroad. Like it or not, they left off to build the city. And of course, that place was called Babel, meaning confusion, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth, and from thence to the Lord scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. So his will was going to be done, regardless of what they thought, or regardless of what they plotted. God's will was going to be done. And so it is at this time period. You know, they don't know those things that they're plotting, how there's a God who's over them all, in spite of them, in spite of their thoughts. And I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord because he's going to come. And as it continues in Luke, the 21st chapter, he's coming. It's going to be as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. He's going to come quickly and suddenly, and they're not going to be prepared. They're not going to be looking for him. They're going to think they're, you know, doing their own thing and you know, coming against God. He's going to be at Armageddon and all united and ready, oh boy, to do their evil work. But praise the Lord, we have his word, and we're told to watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. For he's coming suddenly. That hour is going to come, and you know, oh, to be ready at that sight. Oh, to be doing our Father's will. Oh, to be occupying. And going back to Romans, the 13th chapter, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And, you know, I just want to pause here a minute. And you know, I was talking to Sister Tori last night, and, you know, we know, you know, it just, people talk about being saved, and you know, they think they can raise their hand to be saved, and you know, there's this Baptist mentality, you know, once saved, always saved, and we know those concepts, and, you know, that is not the truth of God's word, you know, and people can be blotted out of the book of life. And believe me, I've seen a lot of people backslide and turn away from God. But I see how this 11th verse here in Romans 13 is presented here. It says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What we really are looking for is the coming of the Lord, when we're set free from this old world. And, you know, that's going to be our salvation, when we stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. You know, yes, we prepare now on this earth. And we thank God because he has done a work in our life. And he has brought us to this place where we could come to him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, where we could repent of our sins and go down in the water and be baptized in his name and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that ultimate salvation is what we long for and what we wait for. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Yeah, that's that moment of belief. There at the beginning, when we realized how we needed Jesus Christ, when we realized how we needed to repent and turn from our old ways and give our lives completely to God. Yes, that moment, which is so important. And then, oh my, to go beyond that and to be converted, to be totally changed, and it takes the Holy Ghost to change our lives and to make us like Jesus Christ. But we are looking for that day and hour of our salvation, when we'll be redeemed from this world and set free from this flesh and all be forever with the Lord. That is what we're looking for. Oh, praise the Lord. And I know 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the world is headed toward his wrath. And he's coming to judge this world when he comes as a thief in the night. He's coming this time to judge. He came the first time to seek and to save, to bring us to Christ. The second time he's coming to judge. But that is when all we pray that we may obtain that ultimate salvation that we so desire and be saved from his wrath at his coming, that outpouring of his final judgment. And of course, the damnation that follows those that are condemned. But going on to verse 12 here in Romans 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Oh, how important it is. You know, Jesus came into this world as the light. And oh my, the world was in such darkness at that moment. Isaiah, the 60th chapter, talks about that gross darkness that was on this world. Oh, verse 1, Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You know, the world was dark at Jesus' first coming. It was dark. They didn't have the glorious light of our Savior shining upon them at that moment until he came, that gross, thick darkness. And it says, the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And yes, when the Lord Jesus was born, there were men from the east that came at that point, at the moment of his coming, his first coming, that advent, then when he came. And this chapter, it's a beautiful chapter. It talks about how the multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Yes, and God talked to those wise men. And it wasn't three wise men either, by any means. There were not just three wise men that came to see the Lord Jesus. No, there were multitudes of camels that covered that area, that covered Jerusalem, enough to make Herod quite afraid. They came to show forth the praises of the Lord. They saw the star in the east, and they recognized that the king had been born in Israel. Oh, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Savior and our God. And it talks about all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Naboth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Oh, they all came. The shepherds came. Oh, my, to see the birth of the King that had come to seek and to save those that are lost. Oh, praise the Lord. So he came. The light had come upon the dark world, the gross darkness that covered the land. And we know that Jesus came unto his own. But the sad thing was, for the most part, men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They didn't want to come to him as Jesus ministered from age 30 on through 33 and a half as he ministered. Most did not really want to embrace him as Lord and Savior. They did not want to see him as a Messiah. They saw him as a man, rather. And they didn't want to come to the light. He would expose it. He was exposing the evil. But they didn't want it to be exposed. They wanted to live in their sin. They didn't want to be delivered from sin because their deeds were evil. It tells us in John, the 3rd chapter, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." Yeah, you're going to have to change. The light shines into your heart, into your life. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to get right with God. But praise the Lord, there are those that come to the light. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, and thank the Lord if he helped us to see our need, that we would come to the light, that our deeds might be manifest, that we might change, that we might come to him and have a new life and be brought into the fellowship of God's dear Son. Amen. Praise the Lord. But, you know, Jesus also said that now, because he was in the world, he was there as the light, and he had spoken unto them. Now they didn't have any cloak for their sin. 15th chapter, John tells it, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin." They had no excuse now, no covering for their sin, because Jesus came to expose their sin. And so it was. But here it is. Here it is. It's time. God has revealed himself to us. We've seen the light. We've understood the light. It's been made clear to us. It's been revealed. But we're told here in Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 12, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Oh, that wonderful armor of light, that cleansing armor. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, speaks of this wonderful armor. We could just go there. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 1. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Oh my, there is a difference, isn't it, when the light shines into our life, when we begin to see and he changes us. And it tells us in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We can't go back and do those filthy things that were once part of our lives. We can't go back and do that. Sin isn't going to enter into heaven. And that's for sure. The wages of sin is death. That's what sin leads to. It leads to death, eternal separation from God. But it says in verse 8 again, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." See, we live unto the Lord. And they might wonder, yes, they're probably going to wonder what is going on in our life and why we don't do the things we used to do, you know, why, you know, we don't want that cat of beer in our hands, and, you know, we don't want to smoke those filthy cigarettes, and we don't want to take the Lord's name in vain, and, you know, we don't want to watch those filthy programs on television, and we don't want to go to those places in the dark where they do filthy, ungodly things. And so we are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And one way we reprove them is by not going along with them, not joining in with them, not talking with them, not fellowshipping with them. It tells us in verse 12, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Oh yeah, yeah, they do it in the dark. Oh yeah, thinking that they can hide their filthy deeds. But the light has shone into this world, and now there is no cloak to cover their sin. It tells us in verse 13, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." They're revealed by the light of the Lord Jesus. If that light is in our heart, then we become the light of the world. And that light shines from us. The light of Jesus shines to them so that they can see our Father which is in heaven through us. And they can see the good works that we do because we belong to the Lord. That light is revealed. It is manifest. And those things that are done in secret, in the darkness, are reproved. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." All the light of the glorious gospel that is shown into our souls, that we might come to the Lord Jesus and have fellowship with him. Oh, we know that, yes, those filthy works of darkness are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's told us again in 1 Corinthians the 6th chapter. Again, Paul writes and says in verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." How many people are deceived? They think they can live in their sin and still be right with God somehow. Somehow they can be a Christian and mix and mingle and do things that are unholy. It says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." It's no way. There is no way. Those type of sins are not going to enter into the kingdom of God. In fact, no sin is going to enter into the kingdom of God. And then it says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And praise the Lord, we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We've been made holy. We've been being sanctified. Oh, by his blood, not because it was of works of righteousness that we had done. It was something that we earned or merited or deserved. No way. It was his gracious mercy that he extended to us so that we could see that the light had come, that we could embrace the light, oh, and that we could come to him and we could be washed in the blood of the Lamb and go down in the water in the name of Jesus, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and by the Spirit of our God, that Spirit that dwelt in Jesus Christ that comes to dwell in our hearts when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord for his mercy. Praise the Lord. And it states also in verse 13 of chapter 13 of Romans, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." No, there's no way a Christian's going to, you know, want to walk in rioting and drunkenness, rioting being loose living, unrestrained, debauchery type of things that, you know, and drunkenness, all that kind of thing, that partying, that reveling, that those kind of things that the world goes about and you know, looks forward to. And not in chambering and wantonness. Oh, by wantonness being unbridled lust. Chambering, also lustful indulgence. things done in the chamber there, bedroom sort of things, and wantonness, unbridled lust that goes forth in this world. And then it says, not in strife and envying. And, you know, that is something to be aware of, because sometimes that strife and envying kind of tries to show its ugly head. Sometimes it sort of kind of tries to get into the body of Christ and show itself. But James, the third chapter, verse 14. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. That's the result of envy and strife. We don't want any part of that in the body of Christ. Nothing of that sort at all. It says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And boy, I tell you what, the devil tries to raise his ugly head from time to time and bring things among his people that are completely unfit for the child of God. But we want the kind of wisdom that comes from above. Oh, this chapter in James, the third chapter, ends by saying, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom that comes from above, this pureness that comes from Jesus Christ, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated. Oh my, if we confess our sins, the Lord is able and willing to forgive us our sins. And we are also, there are times that we need to go one to another and confess perhaps things that have been done against another person. There's that easy entreating, that gentleness, that mercy that goes with that. If we're truly in the body of Christ, without partiality and without hypocrisy, regardless of who it is, and without hypocrisy, not expecting a better thing of somebody or a more good thing from somebody than the next person. And it says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. That peace that cometh from above, that beautiful peace that the Lord gives. But we are told to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as this chapter in Romans the 13 ends. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And of course, we first put on the Lord Jesus Christ when we're baptized into Christ. Let's go to Galatians here for a moment again. We could go to Galatians, the third chapter, and verse 27. It says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So here it tells us, if we've been baptized into Jesus, taking his name upon us, in those waters of baptism, going down, having repented, thus for the remission of sins, we have put on Christ. Praise the Lord. Changed creatures, aren't we, you know? Praise the Lord. He comes into our lives to change us. So we put on Christ in those waters of baptism. And then as he works in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit will abound. when we really give our life to the Lord, when we really put on Christ, we're going to walk in the Spirit. If you look at the fifth chapter of Galatians, if you look at verse 14 to begin, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Again, those negative spirits, those lustful, fleshly spirits get into the church. It's going to be consuming. It's going to be detrimental. It's going to hinder. It's going to stop God from working, from the Spirit of God flowing. It just can't be. We have to love one another. That peaceable fruit of righteousness has to be within the body of Christ. The Lord is to be working in us. Verse 16 here in Galatians 5 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're walking with the Lord, moment by moment, if you're putting everything into His hands, if you're trusting in Him, and you're listening to His still small voice, then you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking in the Spirit, and it says, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're listening, if you're hearing, it says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. There's no way when that kind of war is going on. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and you're giving into that lust, and that contrary spirit, then there's no way you could be walking in the Spirit. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. We're free from that law of sin and death. And we're walking with the Lord, therefore. Then it tells us what the works of the flesh are. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Here it is again. Here it is again. You cannot sin and be a part of the kingdom of God. Sin is not going to enter in. It is just not. The Word of God declares it. It's at enmity with God. But there's a fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yes, when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, we've been baptized in His name, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, and the fruit of the Spirit as we yield our lives to the Lord can grow in us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Praise the Lord. Those attributes that were in Jesus Christ that need to be in His people. Oh yes, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. It tells us, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. We put down the flesh. We deny the flesh. When it tries to rise up, we have to put it down. We have to learn to do that. It says, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. All those things that was part of our world when we walked in the flesh. Before we knew the Lord, before we knew the light of the gospel, they are no longer a part of our lives. We've crucified those things if we are Christ. And it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what it means to put on Christ, to have Him walking in us, living in us, so that we become like unto Him, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, as 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's what the Lord does for us when he gives us new life. And we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What a beautiful difference it makes in our lives when we turn it all over to the Lord. And you know, that old man, Romans the 6th chapter, points out how that old man is crucified. There's no way. Romans the 6th chapter, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Sin should not be a part of a Christian's life. You know, and if it happens, I know John wrote, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. He made a plan. He made a provision. Yes, if there's a slip up, praise the Lord, we can go to Jesus, can't we? We don't have to go confess to a priest. No, that's not the way God ordained it by any means. He made it possible that, you know, that veil was torn asunder. It was broken down, so there was no division any longer. We didn't need a high priest to take care of our sins. We didn't need somebody to go before us and atone for our sins by sacrificing a creature on our behalf so that we might be reconciled to God. No, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God, oh my, gave up his life so that we might be freed from sin, and that we don't have to have sin, and that sin doesn't have to have dominion over us. And therefore, if sin doesn't reign in our mortal bodies, the death hath no more dominion over us. We're going to be freed from that law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. He's come into our life. He's changed us. He's given us power to triumph over it. And praise the Lord. So sin is not to reign in our mortal bodies, that we should obey in it the lust thereof. You know, instead we yield ourselves, our members, to the living God. But so it is. We put on the Lord, and as it is, we know that the hour is late. And another thing is, we put on Christ. He becomes our main desire, our main attraction. We become immersed in the things of God. And serving God, coming to church, praying, all that just isn't a sideline. It's just not something that you occasionally do, or, you know, once in a while, or off and on. But it becomes something that we're immersed in, to live as Christ and to die as gain. As Paul said, it becomes our whole way of life. When we go to work, our mind should be stayed upon Jesus Christ. You know, we're thinking about Him, His Word. Maybe we're singing, maybe we're making melody in our hearts to the Lord. You know, everything we do should be with the purpose and the desire that we might help somebody find the Lord, that we might be an example, we might be an inspiration, we might, you know, help somebody to see the light of the glorious gospel that has shined into our hearts, our lives, that has changed us, that wonderful salvation that has been wrought in the Lord Jesus, that He so freely gave to us, that we might be His. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. Yes, you go to the store, and you know, He still is on our minds. He's in our thoughts, you know, so that we're living in Jesus. We put Him on. He's our mainstream, you know. He's our hope. He's the desire of our hearts. And therefore, if anybody would ask us of that hope that is within us, we could tell them it is the Lord Jesus. we can share the gospel with those that are in darkness, the terrible darkness that has overcome the world. And as we know, here we are. The time is far spent. The night is far spent. The day of the Lord is at hand. So therefore, it is time. It is time to put on Christ. It is time to cast off all the works of darkness and be wholly, fully embraced in the armor of light. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord Jesus, the good things that He has done for us, the wonderful love that He has shown to us that we can show to others because that light has shined in our hearts. And praise the Lord, we could believe. The Lord put it within us to embrace the gospel so that we could believe and that we could come to Christ and we could know Him. And by His grace, by His salvation, by His mercy, one day we could see Him face to face. Amen. And hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Praise the Lord. That's our hope. That's our goal. Praise the Lord, what He has done for us. It's high time for Zion to awake, to trim her lamps, to get ready, to cast off any evil work, anything, any sin that would so easily beset us, to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, that's what He did for us, that we might have eternal life. He despised the shame of the cross, that we might have life, and that we might have eternal life, that we might be His, that we might be heirs, according to the grace that He has blessed us with. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, God, for so great and wonderful salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we've been able to see and embrace the light. God, that we don't have to walk in darkness, Lord, but we are able to come to you, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that you would work in us, oh Lord, work in us mightily, God. Oh God, that we would be fully embraced in the glorious light that you have shown us, Lord, that we might walk in it, Lord, that we might cast off anything that would hinder or destroy, oh God, or bring us to damnation, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh, help us to see clearly. Help us not to be distracted, oh God. Help us not to be hindered, but help us to walk, go forward and walk in the light as you are the light, Lord Jesus, for you're the light of the world. And you've made us the light, therefore, because you've shined into our hearts that glorious gospel. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You put it on so good tonight. I can't get it off. Sammy, you want to help me? Oh, there.
We got it.
Okay.
Praise the Lord,
Well, praise the Lord. We are going to close by singing number 41 in the chorus book tonight, Awake, Zion, Awake. Awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake. Trim your lamps, awake, Zion, awake, awake and trim your lamps, for the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear, Zion, awake, awake, Zion, awake, awake. And trim your lamps. Awake, Zion, awake. Awake and trim your lamps. For the stars of heaven shall fall, and the moon shall be turned into blood, and the Son of God shall appear. Zion, awake. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.